Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, a man with a voice here, the tremor of cool, the feminine of it.
That song. So we heard GDR and we came to tell you about games and stuff.
That's awesome.
You're listening. Hey!
What?
Kid Natrix is eating my couch.
Oh my god.
She is eating my couch. Oh my god.
That is hilarious. I was like, well, what is going on? Well, all right.
I just threw something at her. Have y'all heard a loud clank? And now I'm going to throw a shoe at her. Anyway, good morning. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey, where we do gaming news and apparently tell you things that are going on with our pets and animals. You don't really care. You want to hear about the news, but sometimes we throw a funny story in there. Yeah, that did it.
Yes.
You call the Humane Society if you want. Tell them I'm throwing shoes at an animal. You know how to dodge. How you doing this morning, Ginger?
I am good. I am currently about to kick Twitch in the gonads and be all like, well, what are you doing? It won't turn my automatic Facebook sharing on. It's like, why?
Because it don't want to.
Well, how rude. It should want to.
You tell it, Ginger.
Oh, right?
You tell it.
That's so weird. All right. Well, anyways, I shared it. We are on air, folks. Yay. Oh, my God. And I just left our channel.
Why?
Because I'm bright like that, apparently.
Poor Ginger.
Yeah, I know, right? It's fun. Oh, that's why. Okay. Now I know why. Never mind.
She's getting it together.
I know, right? It's Wednesday. You know what? I got my trash out. I had McDonald's for breakfast. I'm good.
You'll see how the ginger rolls.
I got to tell a digital pervert, you know, where to go.
Go suck it.
Yeah, pretty much. I tell you, I'm not interested, and I have to repeat that in about four different ways. That is three ways too many. So, yeah, I finally was just like, you know what? I'm out of here. So, yeah.
Do you want for us to cut them?
Yeah, sure, why not? Cutting could be good.
I got to learn not to offer Ginger stuff like that. Okay. Ironically, we were talking about, who was I talking with? Was that you? I don't know. I've talked to, like, so many different people this morning. Yeah, I know I was going with something. Oh, we're talking with people about people who've gotten cut. Apparently, somebody in the news got out of their car, and somebody was chasing them with an axe, so.
What? Back up. They were in their car where they were
minding their own business,
fairly safe from an axe.
Well,
and they got out?
Well, they got out because they were backing up, and the guy was screaming, you know, oh, you dirty so-and-so. The guy got out and says, hey, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And voila, the guy pulls out an axe. I know. Where did we get this stuff from?
How did he pull?
That's all I know.
What was the second guy in another car? I mean.
No, he was in a car. Well, I guess he was walking by. So the.
And he was just carrying an axe?
I guess he was just carrying an axe.
You know, if someone's just walking by and carrying an axe, I am not getting out of my car.
Well, no, wait, they didn't see the axe. They didn't see the axe right off. They I guess they got out to see what was wrong with him. I don't know. I heard this story secondhand. Oh, by the way, I got to say a thank you to Warren Bennett yesterday, or it might have been Monday. I was listening to our podcast and directed me to a website with lots of good games. And from there, I found a very cool game, which will probably go up in our little zombie section whenever I get that section to start showing what it's supposed to show again. But
no.
It's a zombie survival game, not like a... you're stuck in the house, and you have to, like, you know, keep the zombies away from the house while your people go out. Really cool game. It's called Dead Zed. Anybody played that? I am in love with Dead Zed. I only got to play for a couple of seconds, but I'm telling you, I'm going to lose many hours of my life playing Dead Zed. And it's browser-based. And it's free. It's free.
Oh, that's cool. We like free.
Browser-based and free. Yeah, look, and as I say it, it loads up on my screen all loud. All
no,
right.
I couldn't tell if that was on my screen or on yours. I was like, whoa, what did I start that wasn't supposed to be started? Oh, no. Oh, no.
No,
oh,
it wasn't you this time. This lovely game. I refreshed because I was going to share the link, but you'll have to go over to armorgames.com. Actually, no, you didn't direct me to this. You led me to go look for someone else. So when I found where he sent me, which was GOG Games, then I ended up finding Armor Games. Armor Games is actually up on...
GOG has amazing games. All sorts of games. Crazy
games. All the old stuff that you haven't seen in, like, ages. But thank you, Warren. You prompted that whole search, and I found some games. Tindra, what is going on with you on the Book of Faces?
What did I do on the Book of Faces?
I saw all kinds of crazy stuff. Also, if you're watching our Facebook page, you see a picture of us from our last night's Pixanista sitting on the couch. See how hot we look?
Yay! We do look hot. We do look hot.
See, we told you we were Pixanistas.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What did I do on the Book of Faces?
You had a picture up of something. I don't know. I saw your face really big. It kind of scared me. I was like, what is going on?
No telling. All right, well, since we were talking about awesome, amazing guys, I have to show y'all this. I found the story yesterday, and it was actually over in the Yahoo. It was on the front page of Yahoo is where I found it. It's in the Love and Sex section. I cannot talk. I would say I can't talk this morning, but apparently it's every morning. I don't know what it is. Okay, so jumping from airplanes, flash mobs, and public declarations have become popular methods of proposing marriage. But there is a very awesome man. I wish I knew his name. He's an Australian physicist. Oh, sorry, there we go. That is his name. His name is Brandon. And he took a different route to proposing to his physicist girlfriend of 7 years. He wrote an academic paper. The paper entitled Two Body Interactions, a Longitudinal Study, which refers to a classical physics problem about the gravitational force between two objects, is dated March 2012, but was posted on Reddit this past Sunday. Not much is known about the couple, but it's clear that the two met roughly 7 years ago at a gathering with work friends on a rainy day and were immediately attracted to each other and became an item that May. But the paper includes anecdotes about anecdotes. Why?
Anecdotes.
And I was like, why do I read it that way? Anyways, anecdotes about the relationship, such as the study began on the 23rd of March, 05, outside a Psi Social barbecue at the Eastern Avenue building when the subject spontaneously appeared in a red coat and a gray Paddington Bear hat and was similarly spontaneously introduced by a local social node. And it goes on like that. It talks about that there was a two-week separation and a surprise Project Valentine. And in the second half of this phase, additional tests included the effects of martial arts training on both subjects. Marital arts training on both subjects. And the effects of a consistent weekly multi-body interaction facilitated by homemade food. And it goes on. It talks about romantic vacations and different places that they visited. The paper even includes, which I thought was really cute, something he called a happiness graph that continues upward and ends with the statement the author proposes to Christy, the indefinite continuation of the study. And, of course, underneath is a little box, you know, yes and no. Christy, of course, texted yes, which is just adorable. Guys, this is amazing. You want to propose to your geek girlfriend, your nerdy girlfriend, do something like this.
I like it. It's very romantic and sweet.
It is. It is very personal to them both, since they're both physicists. And I love that. I love that. You know, I've heard about guys, you know, texting, do you want to get married, and, you know, mailing the rings and stuff like that. That is just so, so cheap. Come on, guys. This is a once-in-a-lifetime deal, hopefully. Hopefully, once-in-a-lifetime deal. And do it right. Make it something memorable. You know, if you want to start your married life off on, hey, you want to go get married? Sure, you know, then that's what you can pretty much expect for the rest of your relationship is going to be like. But come on, do this. This is awesome. This is amazing. I love it. And I had
to
share.
It was so, so sweet.
It is. It is. It is so sweet. So sweet. All right. So what's Miss Corey got for us? Oh, okay.
Heavy,
never
heavy
mind.
Breathing.
See, I'll
heavy,
see.
Heavy breathing.
Hotness. Hotness.
Well, poor THQ. They're still selling things off. They've announced today that they will sell certain of the remaining IPs via a court-supervised sale process. Poor them. Last month, of course, THQ sold the majority of its studios and games in development as part of its Chapter 11 case. The company expects to have complete the bidding and sales process for those remaining IP assets by mid-May. The company has I'm still out of breath. The company has designated 6 lots of IP titles for bidding, and they are the following: Darksiders, Red Faction, Homeworld, MX, other owned software including Big Beach Sports, Destroy All Humans, I didn't know they did that, ooh, that hurts, Summoners, and more. Other licensed software includes Marvel Superhero, Supreme Commander, Worms, and more. Aren't they still marketing Worms even as a few weeks ago we were reporting that they were still marketing Worms, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Very well, I guess. Interested bidders, if you're wanting to bid on this software, if you got a little cash in your pocket, must have or provide complete identification, including the names of the corporate officers or those authorized to act on the bidder's behalf, written evidence of authority to enter the anticipated transaction, and proof of financial ability to perform the complicated transaction. Only those bidders who meet all 3 requirements will be provided access to confidential information about each lot of titles once a non-disclosure agreement has been executed. Documentation meeting these 3 requirements should be sent to auction at THQ.com. Initial bids must be submitted by April 1st of this year. Final bids are required by April 15th. The company, in consultation with its unsecured creditors committee, will determine the best and highest bid for each lot and designate a backup bid. In May, the sales will be presented to the court for final approval. THQ has received more than 100 expressions of interest in purchasing various titles. Consequently, a vigorous sale is anticipated. The company has established a special clearinghouse at auction@THQ.com for email questions about the forthcoming sales. Of course, last month, the court approved the sales of 3 of THQ's own studios and games in development, as well as Evolve, a working title under development at Turtle Rock Studios, Homefront 2, and, of course, Metro Last Night in South Park, The Stick of Truth. Under the terms of the agreement with successful and approved bidders, the THQ estate received approximately $72 million. THQ and its domestic businesses business units filed voluntary petitions under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware on December 19th of 2012. And, of course, for more information, you can pop over to THQ.com. If you'd like more information regarding the Chapter 11 case, you can visit KCCLLP.net/THQ. You know what would be an interesting thing to do, gamers out there? What is that, Ginger?
What is what?
I'm hearing a bleeping noise. Boop. That's what it sounds like. Do you hear that?
No.
Maybe it's me. It would be interesting, gamers, to get together.
Do you have your Facebook open?
I maybe do. But
do you have your sounds on for Facebook?
I have no idea. I never hear sounds from anything.
Yeah, yeah. They start doing that now where people, like, post stuff or, you know, reply to yours, whatever, like yours, and you'll go ba-doop.
Apparently, you may be right. It would be interesting to put together a Kickstarter, a bunch of you gamers, form a little corporation, and buy one of these IPs.
Yes, 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 entirely. Actually, I know I know some people that are trying to do something like that right now. We're just waiting for it to be sellable.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're not selling it, but nothing's happened. Selling it. Sorry, my accent is coming out like crazy today.
Selling it.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so Stargate Resistance, there is still hope for it. So, yay! Anyways, all right, so that is awesome, though. That is awesome. Speaking of Kickstarter, I have to show y'all this. My new... Oops, there we go. I'll show y'all the wrong thing. All right, so Rip Tracks and the wonderful guys from Mystery Science Theater want to buy Twilight because they want to rip Twilight in theaters nationwide. Why can't I talk? I have no idea. Anyways, so this is just a cool little thing that I found, and I have to share it. Let me scroll down. Okay, so these guys are wanting to buy Twilight. They want to do Mystery Science Theater to it, more or less. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm so sorry. You really, really should. You've missed the geek bus, the nerd bus, if you hadn't seen a Mystery Science Theater showing of some sort. If you're a Second Life player, there's places you can go inside Second Life and watch them for free. It's a blast. Anyways, so 2 days ago, they created a Kickstarter fund to try to buy the rights for it. So far, they have 3,186 backers. They have 28 days to go. Their goal was $55,000. They've raised $154,991. So I can only imagine what it's going to be at the end of the month. This is going to be amazing. I can't wait. This is going to be epic. I can't wait to hear what they say about sparkly vampires and weird relationships between, you know, werewolves and babies and, oh, just the hilarity that's going to go on with this. It's going to be epic. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be beautiful. And I'm going to pee myself laughing. So, you know, if you want to help out, Kickstarter.com.
Here's to hoping that they actually manage to pull it off because, you know, I think somebody's already done a parody of Twilight.
Well, they did a parody, but have you seen any of the Mystery Science Theaters?
No.
So pretty much what they do is they sit there and the movie's playing and it might have a little bit of sound going, but these guys are like talking over it and it's just ongoing hilarity that they're making fun of it. Quirky little just quips. It's amazing. I'm going to have to find one for you and let you watch it. It's really nerdy. A lot of people don't get into it. For those who love Mystery Science Theater, you die. You die. It's awesome. It's a lot of geeky, a lot of nerdy, and just a lot of humor. It's great. I love it.
Well, some of you who are at work are either really happy about this today or not happy, irritated as hell, because Microsoft has released Office 365.
Office 365?
Yeah, they've launched Office 365 for businesses starting at $12 a month per user.
What the hell?
Now, they launched a new version of Office 365 for consumers last month, and they've now opened the doors to small business and mid-sized businesses wanting to subscribe to its cloud-connected version of Office.
Why?
Yeah, it's basically an app in the cloud. The new app suite is supposed to be so feature-rich, according to VentureBeat, that the state of Texas recently signed a contract to bring more than 100,000 employees online with Office 365. I do not agree with this.
$150 a year per employee.
Not just that, but all of our stuff is now in a cloud. You guys keep in mind what I'm telling you. The more businesses and governments can now get access to the new Office. Now, this release unlocks new scenarios and delivers capabilities that far surpass anything available in browser-only solutions. This is what Microsoft Office Division President Kurt Del Bene said in a statement clearly targeting Google Apps, Office 365's biggest competition. The business version of Office 365 is available today in 69 markets and 17 languages. Microsoft says it'll launch the service in another 20 markets and 16 languages in the second quarter of this year. And, ooh, I got a yawn, but hang around, Ginger. Dang it. Office 365 Small Business Premium, if you have a small business, will run you about $150 per user per year. That's $12.50 a month.
Oh my God! Why?
The programs that come with this lovely.
But because it keeps it all on the cloud.
I guess so. They got to maintain the servers, I guess. But you get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Outlook, Publisher, InfoPath, Access, and Link. Microsoft touts that this is an option if you have 1 to 10 employees on top of Office.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if somehow the cloud fails for these big corporations?
What?
Because I'm thinking for these smaller businesses, this is not even feasible, really. This is ridiculous.
No, that's a lot of money. Okay, it also has business-grade email, shared calendars, website tools, and HD conferencing. They also have a mid-sized business one that's $180 per user per year, $15 a month. Same apps or same programs as Link Online and SharePoint Online. Then you have the 365 Pro Plus, $144 per user per year, $12 a month. And it's supposed to be the big boy option for businesses and can support any size documents, people. It does not have Exchange Online, Link Online, or SharePoint Online for employees, but it still offers quite a bit. It says every user with a license can use their Office 365 account on up to 5 devices, and there are IT tools for administrators. So they have to admin their own stuff. Wow.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
You, girl... Okay, my first question would be to you, Microsoft. Why exactly would anyone use this when you can do these things on Google for free? And they have the same things. They'll let you admin your own stuff. I'm trying to see if I got a picture here. I don't know where this is coming from. Well, so now
there are other options that are cheaper, if not free. And B, I do not want to keep all of my business stuff on the cloud. It's one thing for personal stuff, you know, that I don't really care if I lose.
Here's my
the business
fear.
Stuff, there's a reason. There's a reason why we hire IT people to work in those little closets,
mm-hmm.
taking care of all those little tower servers.
I think the scariest thing is that the state of Texas went and picked this up because that means people, things like your tickets, court cases and things will be in the cloud. And I'm telling you, it's coming. You think cybercrime is bad now? Imagine, let's say it's anonymous, and I'm not saying they do this, but let's just say somebody unscrupulously is part of Anonymous and decides they're going to offer their services up to criminals to, make their records disappear from the cloud, their court case disappear. What exactly could you do? Some of our government, our local government people are rather inept when it comes to computers. They don't understand how they work. They wouldn't even remember anything was missing. This is just dangerous. I don't hear anything about a backup either. Can they back up their own things on site to their own office? You know, so at least if something goes wrong with the cloud, their records are at least safe off of Microsoft servers. And I'm not saying it will fail, but you never know in this day and age. Just saying, I don't necessarily like this. I think this is Microsoft trying to, of course, get more money. And they do charge, for those of you who don't know, if you work, you've never worked in an office or you haven't worked in an office or you haven't worked in this type of office, but you know Microsoft charges a license, even when you had Windows XP, when XP came out, it was the same thing. You know, per person, they wanted to charge you $200-$300.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still the same thing. I don't care if you break it down to $12 a month per person. It still comes out to $100-something a year, and it's the same thing before. Why can't I have I just say people with businesses, small businesses, big businesses, just don't do it. This has the potential for some major disaster, seriously.
It does. It really, really does.
We don't want our White House people thinking, oh, well, everybody else is using it because you know that's how they operate there. Everybody else is using it.
Oh, good God, no.
And then next thing you know,
please.
That whole scenario that I saw on Tosh 2.0 where the guy was pulling the launch codes out of the cloud, it's going
to
happen.
I know, and it's exactly what I was about to say. Somebody's going to put the launch codes on the cloud. Oh, dear Lord. It's going to be...
bad.
Well, you know what? I know a couple of people will be happy. They've got the whole, you know, 0.5 population. Anyways,
you broke up. You said they got the 0.5 what now? Because you went totally.
I know a couple of people who would be happy with launch codes being released. I know some people that were talking about, you know, we should have a 0.5 population control. Well, that's fine. You volunteer first. Just saying.
Yeah, it's always somebody young who says that thinks they're not going to be part of the population control. Yeah.
You go right on ahead and volunteer for that, buddy. All right. So, oh, my God. Speaking of launch codes and super scary stuff like that, Mm-hmm. On the scary but kind of awesome side, somebody has invented, not even kidding, an invisibility cloak. And I have to show this to you.
Show it. Do it.
I have got the video of it working. This is amazing. All right. So let me scroll up a little bit because I need to get to my story. There we go. All right. The Elder Wand and Resurrection Stone may be still locked away, which I had to read that part because I thought that was funny. Anyways, there's a guy, Bali Zhang. He's an assistant professor of physics at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. And he's showing off his invisibility cloak. He showed it off Monday at the TED 2013 talks in Long Beach. Funny thing, not new. He's had this for several years.
Of course, yeah.
Right now, it's tiny, as you can see, tiny. Zhang's cloak is a bit different from the one Harry Potter wore, of course. It's tiny right now, like I'm showing you. It's a prototype. But it's amazing. It actually bends light and shadows, which is just so cool. I'm going to start this over for y'all right there.
Well,
so y'all
see, now that's the problem right there. See what he's doing? You start that over. I'm going to tell you where the problem is with that. Yes, it's invisibility. You blend in with the background, but if anybody walks behind you, immediately. You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, immediately they're going to know you there. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's cool, but he's the
It's just a prototype right now, but this is amazing. He says it's made of two optical crystals that are found in nature, and when cemented together, they bend light and suppress shadows to the point that they can actually hide objects. So if he could get this on a bigger scale, can you imagine what we could do with it? One hand's really scary because you're like, you know, military is going to be all over this.
Oh, they are all over this. I'm surprised they haven't already. You know what? I'm going to dare say they probably have already taken it and made bigger versions. Here's, again, my concern. Okay, so you're standing there. You got your cloak on. Somebody walks behind you and somebody's standing in front of you. They're going to be like, hey.
Well, if they can find a way to cover it on all sides of you are going to kind of bend and blend.
It doesn't, though. But again, if somebody walks behind you.
Yeah.
That object will have to, it has to look like it's passing completely through and nothing's there. So you can still tell something is there, is what I'm saying. That's the way Harry.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be using this for any sort of spy, like clothing anytime soon. But I can totally see, I mean, because like back during, was it World War II or World War I? We built whole facilities to hide bases. And we hired like the Disney people to help out with this kind of thing back then. So can you imagine them being able to hide planes, tanks, facilities with this technology? You fly over, you see nothing but the land around it.
Because if you fly over, but remember, again, if you're standing on the ground and looking at it, you know, you may see mountains, but if somebody passes between the mountain and the actual one that's there, you know, immediately see. Gotta fix it. It'd be cool.
But the applications for this are really, really, really cool. And come on, it's an invisibility It's an invisibility cloak.
Oh, I love Play and Trade, by the way. I love that they post something hilarious every day. So today, you want to see it? You want to see it? You got to put
it up. Sure.
You gotta share this with our. Wait a minute, what happened here? How come I click on it? It went away. Thanks a lot, Facebook. Okay, let me give Ginger this link. This is to you guys out there. You all need to pay attention to this particular little meme that they put up. If Ginger sees it, she's going to laugh. I already know.
Oh, my God. That's funny. And I don't know if is that Zelda or is that the guy?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Ginger, see, you are officially too young. That is Link.
I'm sorry. I couldn't quite tell if that was from Zelda or Final Fantasy.
That's the original Link. That's the original Legend of Mario.
It's been a long time. Long, long, long time since I've seen Link in that form. You know? Oh, my God, that is Mario. That is Mario before Super Mario 3. That is Mario.
Yes, that's when he was stopped because he'd always look that way when you weren't moving. Then when you'd move it, it turned to the side. See. And the same goes for you girls.
The 2D games back then, man.
That's right. Girls, same thing for you. If the guy that you're dating doesn't know who any of those people are, too young for you.
Same way, we all call it 8-bit, but if you think about it, it's actually, what is it, 16-bit? Anyway. Do. That is awesome. I love that, though. That is too cute. Too cute.
We got another Assassin's Creed coming already? Can I finish the one I got?
Nope.
Assassin's Creed Black.
Oh, you got something, or you want me to do something?
Oh, is it my turn? I'm all over the place.
It's your turn. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, Chilingo and Samsung, 100% indie developer program is supposed to offer the best revenue share in mobile games history. That's right, Chilingo, the leading indie mobile game publisher and also a division of EA. And Samsung Electronics announced a partnership that's supposed to fuel the mobile games developer community and provide unparalleled revenue options. Spearheaded by Chilingo founders Chris Bayet.
Wow.
And Joey. Breathing would be good. 100% indie aims to foster and support indie developers around the world. Right? Starting on March 4th, developers can visit 100% indie, and it's spelled 100, the word percent, indie.com, and submit your games for consideration to Samsung's mobile apps marketplace, Samsung Apps, as well. The 100% indie team will review all games to ensure they meet Samsung Apps requirements, and once approved, guide developers to the process of bringing their own games to the market. The portal will include resourceful tools, inspiring articles and information to encourage and motivate developers to create incredible games. It's supposed to allow developers to tap into the phenomenal growth that Samsung is experiencing, and they apparently are. I keep hearing all this stuff like they are blowing up. Publishing games on Samsung apps through this initiative will provide developers with the most competitive pre-negotiated revenue share in history. Developers who join the program in the first 6 months, and I want you all to pay attention to this part if you're a developer, will receive 100% of the revenue for your title. Samsung's not going to take a dime. And they are guaranteed higher revenue rate shares until 2015. Samsung continues to diversify the applications that they offer on Samsung apps, and 100% indie is the latest example of that commitment. That's from program manager Jiyoung Lee. Through the 100% Indie, Chilingo is the right partners to help us tap into the creativity of the indie community and ensure we bring the best games to Samsung around the world. Now, Chilingo, whom I adore, made a game that Baby Nature and I were addicted to on the App Store, which I never got to review because I couldn't stop playing it long enough to review. It was I really couldn't. And we had written to them, and they were like, oh, thank you so much for saying you love our game. And I can't think of the name of it right now, but Chilingo's awesome. Make really good iPhone apps. It was a cooking one. Remember we were telling you about it, Ginger?
Yeah, I think
You had restaurants. You had different restaurants with different themes, and you had to run them. You know, you had to order a certain amount of groceries every day. It was very much like it was a simulator. You'd order the groceries or whatever you had, or plates, so that you could make the whatever it was you were supposed to make for the day, or you're supposed to have their stuff ready because people would order different things. Then you had a certain amount of time to cook it. You had to cook it perfect. You couldn't burn it. You had to keep your restaurant clean because the inspector would drop by every so often, and it was different themes.
Yay, not the inspector.
Yes, so you had different themes. You had the burger joint. You had Chinese, Japanese, Italian. You had Americana food, and you could bounce between those restaurants, but you still had to at least go to once every once in a while because you had to keep them clean. If you didn't keep it clean, they would shut it down. For real hours, mind you. So they'd be like, your restaurant shut down for like 4 hours real time until they get done quarantining your restaurant and cleaning it. Certain people like certain spices. Like they had a character that came in. He was my favorite. Dracula, he liked all his food mostly almost raw. You could almost give it to him raw. One that likes extra hot stuff. One that likes his burned. You know, so it was fun. And I love making the burgers. You always had to, fill up the soda cups. I mean, everything that has to do with a restaurant, you had to do. And it was cooking, chopping. You had to actually chop and cook and stir and fold the tortillas and put the stuff in it the right way. And so we were addicted. You hired other chefs. So you have to check out Chilingo. If I can find the name of it before the end of the show, I will tell you. So if you have an iPad, that's a game that you should have. It's really a good game. It's not a what is it, Farmville type of game. It's actually a game. I'm going to go.
All right. Okay, where am I going? New Jersey.
Come back. Don't go to New Jersey.
I don't want to go to New Jersey. I hear that place stinks.
Wow. Josie, I'm sorry. Did you know those people into?
I know, right? Please don't make me sleep in the Fidgies. Anyways, New Jersey, home of the orange people, Oompa-loompas, passes online gambling law. New Jersey lawmakers have approved a bill that will make online gambling in the state legal. I was going to say illegal because it's illegal everywhere else. Illegal, opening the door for companies in the space, including game companies like Zynga, to operate online games that provide real money gambling. Of course, you won't be able to play these games unless you reside in the state of the Oompa Loompas, where it is legal to do so.
Apparently, you know what? I'm scared of those things. Stop talking about them. Stop it.
Nevada, Delaware, and now New Jersey. Nevada passed its online gambling bill last week. That doesn't actually surprise me. I mean, hell, Nevada. Anyways, Governor Chris Christie has already signed the bill into law. There is one thing. It will not take effect until the state's Division of Gaming Enforcement sets an official start date, which could be somewhere between 3 and 9 months after the law is signed. Also, the Poker Players Alliance, PPA, issued a statement today applauding the move by lawmakers and the governor. What did they say? New Jersey has gone all in. Residents now will have access to a safe and regulated online gaming market, and the state will have a new source of revenue and job creation, something the federal government has failed to do thus far. This is coming from John Pappas. He is the executive director of the PPA. The U.S. represents the largest percentage of Internet poker players worldwide, so there is clearly a want and a need for a legal and regulated online gambling market. My one question is, you know, are they going to send Oompa Loompas to your home to, like, break your legs if you don't pay up or something? If you use a bad credit card? And I'm totally saying Oompa Loompas because, you know, Corey said it creeps her out. Oompa Loompas!
The name of the game, by the way, is Order Up, the game that I'm talking about on iPad. Order Up is the name.
Order Up.
And that's, I don't know why I didn't remember that, because he actually yells it out when you play it. Order Up!
Order Up! All right, well, since that one is short, can I talk about a rumor I just found?
No. Yes, you can talk about a rumor.
PlayStation, Sony, maybe, you know, trying to tag along after Microsoft just a little bit here.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Shuhei, or Shuhei? Whoever, Mr. Smith, Yoshida, head of Sony's Worldwide Studios, did an interview with The Guardian. And in that interview, he talks about that every single PlayStation 4 title will be available digitally, and only some will be offered on discs. He also hinted at a possible, here we go, folks, subscription service.
I know,
right? That subscription service will give users access to thousands of games by paying a monthly fee.
He noted
that different payment models are going to be possible. They're going to use like a cable company type kind of thing. Do any of these words sound familiar? Gold, silver, or platinum? Yeah, well, those are all the different levels of membership. They did not say specifically that, you know, they're going to charge everybody. This sounds like, you know, it's going to be kind of a rental service kind of thing. You know, if you want to play these games, you know, you pay a fee and you get to play all these certain games. So maybe those of us who buy our games and just want to play just the ones we own, we won't have to pay anything. Hopefully. But this does kind of sound like maybe they're going to start trying to charge us, like Microsoft. And I have to tell you, Sony, I will say F you and go to the Wii U. Do not try me on this.
Do not bleep with her.
No kidding. I will go to the Wii U. It is cheaper than yours. The picture is probably better. Sure, the community, I don't know what it's going to be like, but you know what?
You know, you know what? I can honestly tell you, as a person who is a member of the Wii community, period, especially the Animal Crossing, I never had anybody, except for that little boy with his foul-mouthed penguin, had anybody say anything to me ever untowards on the Wii. Never.
See that? That'd be awesome. So I'm not afraid, Sony. You'll bring it. You go ahead and try to charge me. A, you're going to try to gouge me for the price for the actual PS4. And I have to tell you, I'm not buying it right off. I'm going to wait a couple of weeks. Somebody's going to return that thing, and I'm going to buy it.
Not just return, but you got to wait and see the glitches.
Exactly. Because that's how I got my Wii. I paid like $100 for my Wii like 2 weeks after it came out.
Well, I had mine at launch. And that's good product right there. I had it at launch and it still works. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, Baby Nantrix may have put pizza in it. I'm really not sure. But
yeah. So some grandma bought it for her kids or something like that. They wouldn't play it. So she returned it after she bought it brand new.
Now that's a good grandma
and
right there.
Had a couple of games with it. I paid $100, got like 3 games and the unit. It was great.
That's a good grandma. You show them how it's done. You tell them, grandma.
It was nice. It was very nice. So there's going to be another grandma out there who's going to do the same thing, and I'm going to get that PS4.
Same. I'm going to eat some order up. Yeah. Tap, tap. I had put that to the back of my mind that their game now. I need to cook something. I'm going to cook some real food. Maybe that'll help.
Now I'm hungry, girl.
I'm hungry, too. That's probably why I keep looking at the game going, man, I could make some burritos today. I really... No, I can't do that. Okay, let me get to our next story. I'm sorry, I'm being distracted. You people.
Distracting you today?
Nobody.
Uh-huh. You tell that nobody. I said, stop it.
Yeah, like I'm going to say that.
You know what? Y'all hear me? Stop it.
I liked my legs and my fingers. Yesterday, you're bad. Oh, did we talk about Zynga yesterday and they've been closing a bunch of offices? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
Okay, there. I got two of these. We got like some weirdness going on. Okay, so
what you got? What you got? You ain't got no weirdness.
First, Zynga has had to close its Baltimore office. The Baltimore studio, Cityville 2 developer, shuttered. They made Cityville 2. As three other studios folded into nearby counterparts. I kind of saw this coming. We said this. The game, I was thinking Farmville. Farmville 2 had some really great potential. They just didn't push that extra that extra little bit. As reported by VentureBeat, Zynga Baltimore has closed outright. As in, they told them, get your stuff and get out, has a handful of social gaming giants and other operations have been consolidated into other nearby sister studios. Zynga COO David Koh told Game Industry International that in an effort to leverage resources as we focus on creating franchises and driving profitability, Zynga has made changes to 4 of our U.S. offices. We are closing the McKinney, Texas, and downtown Austin.
Oh, no, not the Texas one.
I didn't even know that. No, both of them. So I didn't even know there was one in McKinney, Texas, or in Austin, for that matter. If I'd known that, we would have came by when we were there and harassed you. Hello, Zynga. Let me tell you about this one. Let me show you what you need to fix. See this right here? Okay, but anyway, so we had a whole bunch of them in Texas. They closed down McKinney, Texas, and Austin. They're going to be relocating them to Dallas and North Austin. So they'll still be in Austin, Ginger, for us to harass. We'll go and find them. Next time we're down, and they will be consolidating their New York City offices to move their staff to their new New York City mobile studio. Also, as a part of today's changes, the Baltimore studio will be closed. While these decisions are always difficult, he says these steps will affect approximately 1% of our workforce and enable us to focus our resources on the most significant growth opportunities. Going by Zynga's most recent employee headcount, the 1% figure would put the number of layoffs at around 30 people. They say only the 1%. That's 1% too many. The closing of the Baltimore and McKinney studios came after departures of course, high-profile developers at both locations. Last month, Zynga Baltimore founder Brian Reynolds left the company, and following the week, the company said it would be discontinuing Cityville 2, which it had just launched during the previous quarter. And as for the McKinney-based Zynga with Friends, a studio known as New Toy until its 2010 acquisition, it was the original developer of the Words with Friends that was there and saw co-founder Paul and David Bettner jump ship in October. Okay, and then in addition to that, more people that are leaving companies, Playfish co-founder Smith, that's what we're going to call you, Christian Smith, co-founder of Playfish and the man behind EA's serious push into social, mobile, and digital markets, left the company just today. EA acquired Playfish and the team in 2009 for $400 million at the beginning of the gold rush in social gaming. The move was followed by Disney's $760 million acquisition of Playdom and the rise of Zynga, of course, as Facebook gaming powerhouse. Peter Moore will now lead all of EA's digital publishing, marketing, and Origin groups. Well, you work then, Peter. He says, Christian has elected to return to the world of startups where we first met him. Oh, you know what? Y'all don't know what snark that was. It was like, we put him down where we found him. That's what I just heard. That's yeah, we found you nowhere. Yeah. This is from John Ricciello. He said in an internal memo, according to TechCrunch, he says, I want to thank Christian for the vision and tireless energy that he invested to help make EA Digital what it is today. Christian, thank you for putting in your time, and now we got your money. Get out. He says, today, EA Digital is a highly efficient and digitally tuned operation unlike anything else in the industry. Christian's contribution strengthened EA, and we wish him well in the future. If he's not talking, y'all fired him. We know this, or something happened. Otherwise, he would have announced it and said it, you know, himself. Of course, with the move of EA Digital teams under Peter's direction, he will now have the responsibility for all of EA's revenues globally, packaged goods, and digital, aligning the EA Digital groups in Peter's organization, which already includes global publishing, EA Global Media Studios, worldwide customer experience, and mobile and social publishing gives us the greater focus on how we use digital tools to accelerate revenue growth and improve the customer journey across all of our business. Smith is the last of the senior Playfish execs to quit EA. Co-founder Sebastian DeHello and Smith left in 2011 shortly after Shikori Shamas, Playfish CFO. And I'm hoping that our I'm going to have to go and check him out. Zach, are you still over there? Playfish, did you jump ship too? Boy, if you ain't left, you go. You know what I taught you. Get your stuff and go, boy, run.
Get out. Run. Run. Don't look back. Don't look back.
I told you not to go over there anyway. You knew that was a devil. You knew that from being here with us. All right.
Told you so.
Oh, man.
All right, so I have to tell you all about this really cool study that I heard about yesterday. I think it is very, very neat. All of y'all, you know, you've heard us talk about Second Life. All of us, I think, have characters in it. I don't know about Ural.
You're all.
My bad, Ural. We may have to pull you in. Anyways, I found this cool little study. It's over on hypergridbusiness.com. Club One Fitness is an island inside Second Life, and it apparently helped people lose 20 pounds or more. I thought it was kind of cool. So they did a study. They took two groups of people and split them up. Half of them went to a regular gym, and half of them went to this island, Club One Island, and did virtual workouts. And that's the virtual group actually lost more weight, 8 pounds versus 6 pounds. They lost more body fat and more inches around the waist. In addition, more people stuck with the virtual program than the physical one. 25 finished the virtual program, but only 20 completed the physical one. An interesting aspect is also that most of the dropouts in the virtual program happened right at the start. It's really, really, really neat. The two groups, it was 40 people each. There we go. One ran the virtual, one ran through a physical facility. Each with the same program in each one, except, you know, NSL, you get to ride a flying carpet. But anyways, it's really kind of neat. The research project was repeated twice, once running from January to March, and the second time July through September. No cost to the participants, but the people in the virtual one actually lost more weight, more inches, and everything else. Tell me, that's not cool! Of course, you know, it taught them, you know, how to eat better and stuff like that as well. But this is so cool. They didn't go to an actual gym, and they lost more weight.
Well,
doing a little dance over here, because that's so cool. You can't see it, but it's like a whole little wiggle thing. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, most of the time people that have a lot of, that, you know, that weigh a lot, it's mostly they just don't know what to eat. And they probably get more than enough exercise that you need. I mean, exercise is good for you, don't get me wrong, but they probably get more than enough exercise just in their daily activities. Like they were talking about, what was it they were talking about? Like if you take the stairs during the day, how many calories you burn, and you know what happens, you know, on a week's time, a year's time, how much weight you've lost. So they said most people have the opportunity to get more than enough exercise just doing normal things. If you can't get to the gym, so.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. They probably lost the weight. And once you told them, you know, what to eat and what not to eat, it becomes a cakewalk, actually.
I just think that is so awesome. I mean, the guys that went to the gym didn't lose as much weight as the ones who went to this. But you're right. A lot of people just don't realize, especially here in the U.S., I didn't really think about it until talking to people that are from, you know, across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in our foods, here are so sweet and are so processed. We don't think about it because we eat this every day. It's normal for us. But they're like, you know, your
mm-hmm.
foods are almost too sweet. And then they're talking about what was in their foods compared to ours. Ours is so unhealthy.
So fattening, sugary, sweet, all that business.
Yeah. I mean, especially here in the South, how many people, you know, you go out to eat at a restaurant, you order a soda, or you order sweet tea. You don't even think about how much sugar is in that sweet tea.
I don't drink sweet tea, and I drink soda very seldom. And I will eat pretty much, and this is what people don't understand. When I say I eat whatever I want, doesn't mean I eat as much as I want. You can have cookies. What you can't do is eat the whole bag of cookies.
Exactly. And for...
You can have
cake. It's been an argument with somebody who's not listening to the show, and they were it was pushed into their head that they should completely clear their plate all the time.
Well, that's what they say.
Our plates in America are huge.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
I don't want to eat all that food. You're supposed to stop when you're no longer hungry. You're not supposed to stop when you're gorged and you don't feel good because you've ate so much.
Yeah, like now one of my dearest friends who has probably listened to the show. Hello, what was it? I don't want to say her name. Mattel, we used to call her Sony PlayStation. That's what, so she'll know who I'm talking to her. But she and I, you know, one Sunday we went to Chacho's. Y'all hear me talk about Chacho's often, and we ate probably a fourth of what they gave us,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, she's like, I'm full. And so was I. Now, some people will continue to eat even after that because it's there. And it is something that we keep telling our kids, clean your plate. You can tell your kids to clean your plate, just don't give them so much.
Exactly.
What I teach mine is, and she's got a big appetite anyway, is you eat until you're not hungry anymore and then put the rest away because guess what? Later on, that's a nice snack to have.
Exactly.
Double back at dinner time, and it's like, I have this burrito left and this rice. It's a whole other meal. Saves your money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you don't have to eat tons of, stuff, people.
Yeah. I'm the world's worst about, you know, I will sit here and graze if I'm not thinking about it.
Grazing is not bad either. That's what they tell you. It keeps you from being as hungry when you do sit down and eat. Grazing is not bad. It's what you graze on. Now, again, Ginger, don't graze on the whole pack of cookies you have.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. I've gotten to the point where I'll split them up and I will, like, put them in the freezer in, like, their own individual little packages.
I don't have to do that anymore. Also, ladies out there, especially my gamers, a good we may have to do a show on this again since we got Twitch. It opens up possibilities of you seeing what. But we did a show. I don't know if you had just gotten with us where we were talking about good things to eat when you're gaming.
That was before me.
We're gonna have to do that again one Thursday night. We'll talk about good things to eat while you're gaming, good snacks, things that it tastes fattening, but it's not. I'm the queen of that. I will put together some Mexican food. You will swear it's like 3,000-4,000.
And like I found a page, I'm going to find it again. And they were showing platefuls of, you know, they were talking about the 200-calorie snack packs you can get at the store. You get a tiny little handful of anything in those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was showing actual foods that you could eat, 200 calories of it. It was like a whole
plate.
Bowl full of stuff. Yeah.
You just got to learn what to eat that's low calorie and a lot of food. And it's not hard. It's not as hard as you think. And
yeah,
it's some stuff. If you
talk about like celery and peanut butter, or celery and cream cheese, and
well, no, you don't even have to do a whole lot of celery because a lot of people don't. I don't like a whole lot of celery.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do by spouse, but if you do other things, not just with the cream cheese, but like during the show we were talking about. This is something I discovered on accident. Share with y'all. If you take not ground meat, because ground meat is much more fattening and not as good for you, ground turkey,
mm-hmm.
and eat that with celery, like you if you like to cut the celery so that it holds stuff, you can put that on top of celery and some melted cheese and eat that while you're gaming. I promise you, you will not miss a potato chip. You won't miss a potato because it's good and it's so low in calories. It's like you can eat like a whole bowl and it's like 150 calories. I mean, and when I say bowl,
awesome.
I mean a whole big bowl. So you have to find those things. But and what is it they taught me? Seasoning is your friend. That's what usually makes people eat a lot. It's not so much as what you're eating. It's the seasoning. Like Pizza Hut puts sugar in their sauce. Did y'all know that?
Really?
They put sugar in their sauce because when you taste sugar, your body automatically wants more sugar. So what do? You end up eating a whole flipping pizza.
Wow, I did not know that. I did not know that.
Now you know, don't eat a whole lot of Pizza Hut. Stay away from them. That and they're mean.
I usually like Pizza Hut. Of course, note the whole gluten-free. I can't eat there, so.
I do like it. It'd be my turn. Okay, we got off on a tangent. Well, one of our upcoming shows, because next week, of course, we're doing sex. So maybe after that week, we'll talk to you that week about healthy things.
Yeah.
And gamers that you can eat and sit down and munch on you'll lose weight just because you're doing something when you're gaming. It is an act. Everything you do burns calories, even chewing gum.
Yeah, go ahead and send us some ideas. If you have something that you snack on and that you eat that's healthy,
yep.
Let us know. Maybe we'll share it on the show.
Yes, and send us pictures of you fully clothed, people. Fully
clothed. Yes. Oh, my God, yes. We will be checking for reflections in the metal object.
Fully clothed.
Don't make me Photoshop you out. I will do it.
Yes, we can do that because she's learning and I know how it works. All right, so Sephora. You know who Sephora is, right, Jen? They do the makeup stuff?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about. But
very expensive makeup, but they said that they basically thumbed their nose at Facebook and said, hey, our Pinterest followers spend way more money, tons more money, than our Facebook fans, about 15 times more. Ooh. Pinterest.
That does not surprise me, though.
I'm not either because Pinterest is addictive. Pinterest just raised $200 million at a $2.5 billion valuation. But if the company company seriously starts to monetize what marketers like Sephora are finding in the social shopping platform, $2.5 billion is way too cheap. Beauty products retailer and digital trailblazer Sephora says that per capita, its Pinterest followers spend more money than its Facebook followers, and not just a little bit more, again, 15 times more on the Sephora products than their Facebook followers. The head of digital, Julie Bornstein, said the reality is that when you're in the Pinterest mindset, you're actually interested in acquiring items, which is not what people go to Facebook for. Facebook continues to be just a great customer interaction tool that gives us the real-time ability to dialogue with our customer. It's a big customer service venue for us. Now, if you're Facebook, that's got to hurt. You've just been downgraded from the bright and shining future of social shopping to the back office hell of customer support.
Well, you know, if they had some way of adding your own store to Facebook, I'm totally giving you an idea right here.
They do, but it's just not widely known. There are several ways to add stores. It's just so convoluted. Like you said, most people don't even know it exists. I found this last year when we were setting up – no, the year before last when we did the Valentine's Day thing. There is a way to put a store there, but when I tell you it's difficult, it is extremely difficult to do so.
I did not know you could do that. I'm going to have to research that now.
I'll show you where after the show. We still have a link up. It's just it was a nightmare. It was actually worse than what we ended up doing. You remember what we ended up doing?
Yeah. We did our own, and then it was a whole big deal.
We did it by hand. You guys stopped being dirty, but it was horrible. The store was much, much worse than that, than doing it that way. That's why we did it that way. But anyway, so Pinterest is raising all kinds of money. Facebook, you better watch yourself. I think what does it is the pictures. In some instances, women can be visual, especially with makeup. I need to see what it's going to look like.
Exactly.
So that's what I think where they're kicking their asses. And I was on Pinterest last night looking at knitted hats.
I mean, what is that one geeky store that does the makeup? And they actually do the whole tutorials on their websites. So you can actually see what the makeup looks like on somebody.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. Which makes me want to buy it. I will buy it up. It looks good.
Yes.
You know what? It's time for us to go. We've been chatting all month.
Oh, it is.
We so enjoy chatting with you all out there. And you
do.
Your lives with us. We love it. And we will see you guys tomorrow morning, bright and early.
Yay.
What? You know, I keep having these blank moments. I think I'm having some leftover concussion stuff or something.
Oh, no.
It is really weird. I just have moments where my brain just shuts off. There's nothing there. Shut up, Jay. I heard that. I heard it. All right, and we're going to go see you guys tomorrow. By the way, this next one is not safe for work. Y'all might want to turn it down, but got to do it.
Oh, so close.
Give him their kisses, Ginger.
Later, boys and girls.